The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Studio C.
C, Senor.
You know what it is? Dimly lit room. Deep within the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications compound. And today on Little Friday, we're under the tutelage of our general manager,
NTRs.
And what is that?
Well, you remember how it used to be. If somebody entered this country illegally, we would, in a farcical show of trying to control our borders, give them an NTA, a notice to appear on a specific date and time at a court to have a hearing to talk about whether they should be in the country. Well, those are too time-consuming and rigorous these days with all the folks flooding across the border. So now we give them an NTR, a notice to report, which simply says, stop by when you get a chance.
And from what I understand, it's a suggestion.
Right.
It's a suggestion that you report as opposed to the notice to appear, which is mandatory, even though... Notice to appear.
Mandatory-ish.
We're mandatory, but nobody ever showed up. So I guess to what extent is something mandatory if you can ignore it? But
yeah. The speed limit's mandatory, too. You want to know what I did this morning?
I wish more people knew this. But, you know, the way news is disseminated in the modern world. So AP was reporting yesterday that thousands and thousands of Haitians are just being shipped into the country. With these NTRs, here's a thing. You should fill out the paperwork someday. Anyway, enjoy your new life in Maryland or California or Iowa or wherever they're bussing people to. Thousands and thousands of people. So AP reported that yesterday. Fox confirmed it yesterday, at least among those two. But I just heard a CBS News report where it made it sound like, so the number is way down of those people on that border under that bridge. From 15,000 over the weekend down to about 5,000. But it's because they're allowing thousands and thousands of people to just come into this country. You don't know who they are. Don't know where they're going. We'll never know anything about them. And CBS reported it as the administration has gotten the number down to 5,000 and hundreds of flights back to Haiti are lined up. Kind of in what's the word? Implying that, you know, they're shipping them all out. Sure. And that's not at all what's happening.
It's blatantly dishonest.
And.
Obvious.
According to other reports, there's a giant caravan. Remember the caravans that Trump was mocked for? There's a giant, more people from Haiti coming. Because we had our reporter on the border earlier this week who said all these people have cell phones and social media and they talk to each other. So all these people that are being bussed around the country are letting all their friends know on, you know, on HaitiMigrant.org or whatever, whatever their website is, their social media website, saying, hey, yeah, this is where we live now. Look, we live in this neighborhood, and we get free health care and free education for the kids and all these different things. So, of course, the word is going out. Get to the border. You get to come in still.
Well, and let's look at what's happened over the last week or two. You had this enormous flood of humans come in, and they were put in the camp under the bridge. And as it turns out, they were turned loose into the country in spite of their illegal immigration. And briefly now, the authorities in Texas are so fed up with it, they're having guys on horses turn people back. But I'm a Haitian. I get to the border anyway. I bide my time at some point. Texas is going to get tired of that or have to deal with a tornado or something. Don't worry. Once you get across, you will be allowed into the country, particularly if you can recruit a kid or say your sweetheart's pregnant or whatever. We'll just let you in.
Yeah, the lots and lots of people that are saying they're pregnant. You know, I don't think we're probably going to have a gynecologist check and see if they are.
That would be controversial.
Yeah, I'd say.
Of course, you can do it with a whiz quiz.
That's true.
Just give them the stick. I don't know how to say pee on the stick in Spanish, but I'm sure Google Translate could get me there.
We probably ought to officially start.
El urinato on el sticko. It's probably not correct.
So, interesting nugget on this story that I hadn't heard until just a little bit ago that's pretty extraordinary, but we ought to start the show officially. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. On this, it is Thursday. We call it Little Friday around here because we get our party started soon. September 23rd, the year 2021, we're Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
All right, then, let's begin the show officially now. According to FCC rules and regulations, here we go at Mark.
What the hell are we doing here? What we witness takes us back hundreds of years. What we witnessed was worse than what we witnessed in slavery.
Maxine Waters continuing to just make new achievements, reach new heights of stupidity and utterly indefensible rhetoric.
So here's the story. Yeah, that's just incredibly over the top, and we need to play that and parse it word by word at some point.
I'm sorry, before we go further, Orinar en el Palo. Orinar en el Palo.
Pee on the stick?
Pee on the stick.
So NBC was reporting last night, the Biden administration's already denying this, so whether it's true or not, I don't know, but NBC was reporting last night that the Biden administration was working with contractors to send Haitian migrants to Gitmo.
I did hear that.
To store them. And looking for people that speak Haitian and all that sort of stuff. So the Biden administration is saying, no, they're not. Of course, that doesn't mean anything.
They lie all the time.
But imagine if Donald Trump started sending, or if even if we were only this far, imagine if NBC were reporting that the Trump administration was hiring Haitian-speaking guards to work at Gitmo, and they were going to send migrants there. People would lose their heads. The UN would have a vote.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you got to do something. My guess is this. My guess is that Biden, or whoever the puppet is that moves his arms around, if he's no longer with us, that Biden said, get those people off that border. I don't want to see this on my TV screen anymore. And that's what they're doing. They're getting people into the country.
I don't care if you have to turn them loose. I don't care if you have to send them to Gitmo. And they took him literally.
Put him on one of those space orbits around the planet. Whatever it takes.
That'll be next. You can't make this stuff up. But, you know, in my opinion, what we're seeing is worse than what we saw in slavery. If some white politician says that, they would be dragged out of office physically.
Oh, she said it yesterday. You wouldn't have made it till last night without being forced to resign.
No.
What we witnessed was worse than what we witnessed in slavery.
Because the Border Patrol was on horses pushing people back? That's what she's talking about, right?
Congratulations on minimizing by like 99% the horrors of slavery. Well done, Maxine.
Well, she's an old black woman, so it gives her some cover, I guess. So was the Border Patrol on those horses with the reins and that whole story?
I thought that was Texas authorities, but You know, I could be wrong. I don't know.
So, whatever. What did you call it?
All I know is that the federal government wasn't doing their job, so Texas had to step in.
So for like 24 hours, there was the discussion going back and forth between whether or not they were whipping people or it was just their reins the flying around on their horses. Mm-hmm. And no attention to the foot pushing, as you call it.
Yes.
The kicking
the
of people.
The foot nudging.
The kicking of people. I thought that flew under the radar pretty good, the kicking of people.
Kicking. What are you, Joy Reid?
I thought that would get... I thought that would get all the attention, the kicking, the foot pushing, foot nudging, you call it.
Yes. Yes. I've asked you not to cross this line. You have. I must nudge you backward. Forgive me.
Oh, God.
I know. I dream. Sometimes I dream of a world where every American voter, certainly every adult American, was aware accurately of what was happening. And the full weight of the absurdity and stupidity of various policies was exposed. But I think under the best of circumstances, the very best of circumstances, maybe 15% of American voters are aware of what's happening fully. They heard there was a bunch of people under the bridge. They probably saw some pictures on the news or on some website or something. They have no idea why and how that number's been reduced so much. They just think, okay, they took care of that.
Yep, exactly. That is exactly right. Another story we got to get to, and I just saw this on ABC News, which is interesting. Thousands of families across the country who have missing loved ones are wondering, how can we get this kind of coverage for our story? I'll bet they are. I'll bet they are.
Of course.
We'll have a Gabby Petito update. How does mailbag look?
Oh, it's good. It's good. And also later on, the gender studies thesis random generator.
And that sounds awesome. And China apparently does not believe in too big to fail. I might agree with them. Among things we've got on the way, our text line is 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
The U.S. ambassador to Haiti has just resigned and said some interesting things, so we can get to that later this hour. Maybe it's the whole send nations to Gitmo thing, which is an interesting plan. But anyway.
Maybe the guy's just sick of being in Haiti.
I know. Good bit.
So are the Haitians. Nice gig. Here's your freedom-loving quote of the day. Continuing our series from Marcus Tullius Cicero, the great philosopher, leader. I want you to keep in mind, as I give you this quote from Cicero, that there are powerful forces. In fact, they own the teachers' unions. They are teaching your little kids, your middle-sized kids, and your big kids at college, that reason, logic, data are white supremacy and evil. Remember that when you hear the words of Cicero. For there is but one essential justice which cements society, and one law which establishes this justice. This law is right reason, which is the true rule of all commandments and prohibitions. Whoever neglects this law, whether written or unwritten, is necessarily unjust and wicked.
Mm.
Mailbag. Woo! Yeah, I'll start with this one. Todd writes, guys, Survivor is back after about a year and a half hiatus.
Saw that.
Aired last night. Started off with a woke bang. First, Jeff Probst is no longer to say, come on in, guys, to greet the players enduring a challenge, entering a challenge. One contestant, one, was offended by the term guys, so that greeting is done after over 20 years, just like that. Ah. The quote of the night from the show, though, was, I'm married to a trans pregnant man.
Awesome.
Good times, Jeff, good times.
That eliminating come on in, guys, is both completely unimportant and very, very important at the same time.
If they can enforce a dictate that idiotic and needless, and Jeff Probst doesn't have the guts to say that's silly. Well, did that is weirdly a demonstration of their power.
Did you see the ACLU changing the wording of a Ruth Bader Ginsburg quote to fit the modern sensibilities? We'll have to do that later.
Oh, interesting. I just saw that headline. I didn't dig into it. Wow, okay. Honestly, I could not make this up, right, Aileen Anonymous? This is from a reputable university or college in the Bay Area of California. We invite you to submit a piece of art to be considered as the cover art for new books on mathematics lessons to explore, understand, and respond to social injustice. These are books for math teachers to use in upper elementary and middle school math classes that are filled with math activities about racial, economic, gender, health, ability, and environmental injustices in society and how young people like you can make a change.
So that they're working that into story problems, I guess?
Exactly.
Being the only way you could do it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've got kids exactly that age. And other than the story problems, all your math is just, you know, a problem.
Well, and Aileen Anonymous sent along her own, just for fun, her own social justice math problem. Here you go. Now, everybody, you're going to want to pull over to the side of the road. If you have a pen or a pencil, you're going to want to jot these things down, okay? A Latinx gay wheelchair-bound queer-questioning trans person boarded a train at 2:05 that averages 43 miles per hour. The trip normally takes 58 minutes, but a horrible racist white male boards the train at mile 21 and commits 4 microaggressions against the Hispanic gay porter. The conductor, a brave Muslim cisgender female, is upset and traumatized, and the average speed of the train goes down to 40 miles per hour. The distance from the beautiful green city of Diversopolis to the COVID-ridden rural town of Trumpville is 19 miles. Assuming that the patriarchy does not co-opt our math figures and there is adequate representation of all of the 74 genders, what time do we arrive at the despicable Trumpville? Remember, what is important is not accuracy, but in using your lived experience to arrive at your own intersectional conclusion.
The only way I could improve on that is make it a bullet train.
Yeah. It cost $200 billion. Boz just wrote, I love this. Hey, guys, Prime Minister of Canada Justin Trudeau just gave us a preview of the latest TikTok craze, Canadian Bidenese.
LGBTQ2+.
True international average of pressure.
Canadian Bidenese. I've heard that Trudeau clip now, I don't know how many times. I'm as amused as the first time.
Yeah, we'll have to play the whole thing for you when we come back because it's so
poor little Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
What was that one?
My bus be right.
My bus be right or something.
Oh, on a similar topic. Brian writes, friend of mine was, how shall I say, under attack for using incorrect language and not politically correct at work. They threatened his job, so he simply asked the manager, why do you have dog fighting videos on your computer? The manager said, I don't have that on my computer. My friend replied, you will when you look again. Wow. Well, obviously,
what?
I'll finish the email first. That was much nicer than my suggestion, which was bestiality or worse. In light of this, he was able to keep calling the people he worked with folks or my fellow humans. Sometimes you need to fight fire with fire. An old Democrat friend told me that. You must know your enemy. I've read Rules for Radicals also. So evidently this guy's computer capable or something. And he was saying, yeah, you do that to me, I'm going to do this to you. All right. Shut up.
Wow.
Fought fire with fire.
Wow.
Why do you have dog fighting videos on your computer? I don't. You're gonna the next time you look.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Geez. I don't.
Is there like afternoon classes that I can learn to do that?
Well, yeah. But if it can be done to others, it can be done to you. I don't want to enter this era of society.
Well, I'm not going to disarm my. What are you suggesting? I disarm myself because there's guns at the fight? Heck no. Dogfight videos at best.
Oh boy, that's ugly. Yeesh.
These are ugly times. Grow up.
They are. If you miss an hour, go to armstrongandgetty.com. More on the way.
Armstrong and Getty.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity. And the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question. Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun. And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Of course, not everyone's worried about climate disaster. Some people don't care at all. One recent survey found that most Americans do not believe they will be personally affected by global warming. Americans treat climate science like soccer. We know it's out there and it really matters to the rest of the world, but no one can make us care. Now, take a look. Ted Lasso. Maybe Ted Lasso could. Ted Lasso's trying.
I find the joke pretty funny. The topic matter aside, the joke is pretty funny about that. Yeah, you can tell me soccer is the most important popular sport in the world. You still can't make me find it entertaining. You just can't. Global warming. I just came across this tweet, so I thought that joke from Colbert was good. And it was a retweet of this new book called Warmth about how to deal with the overwhelming anxiety related to climate change and mental health issues people are having. And this person who retweeted it said, I hear about this stuff about climate change anxiety, and then you look at Gallup polling on the most important problem in the U.S. and see 3% of Americans name any environmental issue as important. 3%. And I've been saying that for years. Through the media and the politicians, you'd get the sense that half the country's really worried about it. But whenever they do the polling on issues, it's very, very low.
Yeah, I wonder if you polled kids, because they're trying their best to terrify the children. There are a lot of kids with the anxiety.
Oh, yeah, your kid cannot come out of school without being convinced that the climate change is the biggest thing in the world. That's very true. That is
true. Use the same hyperbolic, just cataclysmic language that they use to get the attention of adults online for children. But the kids don't have the filter. They don't understand hyperbole when they hear it. They have an authority figure saying the earth is doomed. You know, we'll all die in a fire if we don't turn it around. It's ridiculous. Sell your ice skates. Buy some sunscreen. It's easy.
It's interesting that Colbert made a joke where he admitted that most people don't care. Huh. So economics is not my wheelhouse, but I'm kind of interested in this whole China thing that's going on. We mentioned the Wall Street Journal story yesterday that Jonathan Swan said was the most important story you read this year on China. It was about how President Xi is hell-bent on getting away from Western-style capitalism and going back to Mao-style communism, despite the fact that this whole embracing capitalism thing is what's changed them into a global superpower.
Unquestionably.
Which is kind of interesting. And then the other story of the week on China is this their Lehman Brothers moment, as they have this giant corporation that is about to go under. Lehman Brothers, the financial house, went under back in 2008 and brought down the whole world's economy, and certainly the U.S. economy for a while. So breaking news from the Wall Street Journal, China is telling authorities to prepare for Evergrande. That's the name of the company, the big company over there. It's a developer, real estate developer. China is telling authorities to prepare for Evergrande's potential collapse, signaling a reluctance to bail out the debt-saddled developer, which I think is interesting because, remember, we had the giant nationwide argument for a while over too big to fail. We were told by all the super smart people, and they may be right, I don't know, but I hate the policy of companies that are too big to fail. We can't let them go under because it'd be too damaging to all of us, so we have to bail them out. So they can do anything they want. They can run their company as crappy as they want, take as many risks as they want, and if they turns out their risks didn't go the way they wanted, we, the taxpayer, will bail them out to make sure they stay afloat. That sounds like a great policy. Well, that's what we did. And that's what we continue to do. And it looks like China's saying, nah, we're not doing that. So I don't know.
Yeah, you add to that Xi Jinping's distrust of capitalism and trying to root it out, as you're discussing. I mean, that's an incredibly powerful corporation there. And I think he'd probably just as soon see it croak.
Could be.
He figures, and, you know, his lust for control and the egomania of communism, that you can direct the activities of millions, billions of people. It's just so sick. But anyway, yeah, I think he thinks we can endure the shock. I'll plan around it. I'm the king of the commies. No worries.
The smart people I like say we're more too big to fail now than we were in 2008.
Who is?
The United States is.
Oh, the banks and stuff, the financial sector?
Our biggest financial corporations are more too big to fail now than they were before. Because there, for a while there was that move of, if it's too big to fail, it's too big to exist.
Right.
We can't have something that could bring down the whole economy if it makes a mistake. But we're even more down that road than we were before. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not for egging your local credit union or anything, but there's a reason. There's a reason Jesus threw the moneylenders out of the temple.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. It went biblical on us.
Unholy.
The Bible.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
So John Walsh from America's Most Wanted weighed into the Gabby Petito story. He was on CNN yesterday. He says, I said this last week. I wondered about it anyway. He thinks the Landry family bought time for their son to get away, claiming he was there. And the whole time he was on the run trying to get out of the country, which is what I wondered too. And
it's absolutely a possibility.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
And so there were some reports. I think we've got that. Maybe we'll play that later. But there were some reports that he was seen around, the young Landry, the fiance that probably killed her. He was seen around the house there right after he got back and was mowing the lawn and went on a bike ride. I almost wonder if that's not like super over the top. Hey, look, I'm out and about. You've seen, has everybody seen me? Everybody see me?
Do you see me acting casually?
See me mowing the lawn and riding my bike because I'm here? And then, immediately took off and got like a 3-4 day head start on taking off to Canada or Mexico or Europe or wherever the hell he went with the parents covering for him, which would be just a crazy thing for the parents to do. But
well, yeah, it would, although they got him money. It's entirely possible they parked a car where his car was found.
Oh, wow.
He switched cars. Jumped in there, took off.
Didn't think of that.
Yeah. Wow. I wonder.
Also got the story yesterday that they had been at a restaurant. Where was it? In Wyoming. And he was screaming at the wait staff and making a scene over the bill or something. She ended up having to come back in the restaurant and apologize for his behavior. So he was that kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was an account by yet another would-be travel vlogger, Instagram posting would-be influencer person. It seems like everybody involved with this story is like an Instagram model, but they saw him alone at a campsite acting oddly when theoretically Gabby was still around and sending texts. So, yeah.
It's become fairly clear to me that everybody who's attractive is taking a shot at being some sort of Instagram influencer.
Absolutely.
I know people around here who do it. It's just if you're attractive, you think, why not? I'm as likely to catch on as anybody else, and you're probably right. On one hand, good-looking people are on a dime a dozen, but on the other hand, you could look at it as good-looking people are a dime a dozen, I'm good-looking, so why not me?
Sure. Yeah, I find the whole thing just kind of gross, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it probably depends on how much effort you put into it, how much of your time it takes, and how certain you are that this is your path to riches.
Yeah, and if the content is good, then okay. I mean, if you're doing an informative, fun travel blog thing, and people enjoy seeing the world and hearing your content, I got nothing against that. That's fine. But it just seems like everybody wants to be famous.
But, you know, if everybody that plays in a band, I think you kind of think, you know, if we catch on and hit it big, that'd be awesome. But I don't think we probably will. You know,
right.
That's fine. Speaking of catching on, so I read this piece, ABC, about the thousands and thousands of families across the country who have missing loved ones. This happens all the time, where either people go missing or they're murdered and the case is never solved. It happens all the time. There are hundreds of them wherever you are right now. And all these families thinking, how do we get this sort of attention for our missing daughter, son, dad, wife, whatever? Because if it gets this sort of attention, as we've seen and talked about, the crowdsourcing possibilities of the country are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
If the story can catch on, you're going to have somebody who saw something at some point. And the unfortunate reality is I think it's just way too random. I don't think you can, you know, the whole good-looking white girl missing thing, there is definitely some truth to that.
You know, it's funny. The answer to this question is the answer to the one we were talking about previously with the would-be travel bloggers. Why does one person hit and another one doesn't? Because they did. Because they do. Because they had it at the moment.
Even among good-looking white girls, there's an awful lot of them that don't bubble up. So there's all kinds of factors that we probably don't even understand, including I think these stories have to land at a certain arc in a news cycle where there's like a hole for that kind of story, or we as a country want that kind of story.
Yes.
Whereas if it landed, you know, she disappears a couple of days before the Taliban starts taking over Afghanistan, you never hear her name. Or some other big story that's dominating the news flow. So all these things have to come together.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They have on my favorite news show that I watch on television is Bret Baier's Special Report. Best news show on television if you don't want it. Most fair news show. They've led with it, I think, 3 days in a row with the Gabby Petito story.
Yeah, which to me is crazy. Bret, stop it. But people are interested and they know it. They're in the ratings business. I get it. So the world has lost its mind about COVID. I don't know if you've noticed that. Not just out of proportion, but wildly, insanely out of proportion.
I would agree, but we are over 2,000 a day on average now, and the trend is going up, deaths still. Over 2,000 a day. I would have never guessed that would have been going on pert near October of 21.
Right.
Anyway, you're right, irrelevant of that.
I have some examples of that. You know, most of those dead people are self-selected. They didn't get the vaccine. That's fine. It's up to you.
Yeah, and the administration's trying to have it both ways in that they constantly say this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, but then decry the number of deaths. Wait a second. You can't have it both ways. If there are vaccines everywhere and it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated and people are choosing that, then why are the rest of us worried? And I know plenty of unvaccinated people, not plenty, I know a handful. I know a handful of unvaccinated people. They're willing to take the risk. They're like, yeah, I'm signing up. I'm taking my chances.
Yep.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I can respect that. Let's open up the world and get back to work.
If you haven't heard Justin Trudeau trying to be politically correct, you've missed out on a funny, among other things, on the way.
Armstrong and Getty.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getty Show.
Somebody has decided to put some sort of educational channel on in the lunchroom now, so every time I walk in, it's Copper, the Wonder Metal, and stuff like that.
Fantastic.
And the WWE has a new woke wrestler that's getting attention.
Oh, that's great. That's so smart.
Leaning into the whole woke thing, it's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple of exhibits for you on the theme of we've lost our minds over COVID, as deadly as it is, and it absolutely is. It was pointed out that you have the rush to mandate vaccines for kids now, ages 5 to 11. David Frum, who's an enormous pain in the hiney. He's a former Republican turned Republican critic, so he's the darling of CNN and MSNBC. But he tweets, if regulators approve that 5 to 11-year-olds can be safely and effectively vaccinated against COVID, let's not repeat the mistake of allowing space and time to anti-vax extremists. States should immediately make anti-COVID vaccination a requirement for schools, sports leagues, etc. These are 5 to 11-year-olds.
So we can avoid what?
Well, a doctor person tweeted back, using CDC counts, a total of 145 kids have died in the 5 to 14 age group through the entire 18-month pandemic. Kids are generally safer from bad outcomes unvaccinated than vaccinated adults are. When the risk level is that low, it's microscopic. This decision should clearly be left to parents, which I agree.
That's so weird, this you know, like I was talking about over the weekend, the disappointment in so many politicians and people in the media that they didn't decide to recommend boosters. Just disappointed. Why?
It's so strange.
I know.
Carol Markowitz wrote a piece for the New York Post that I thought was terrific. If you see a video of a toddler being dragged off a plane for not masking correctly, you can be sure the video was taken in America or Australia, which we'll get to in a minute. And what's become a bizarre ritual of over-the-top rule-following zealotry, coupled with misplaced and unscientific COVID fear, another child was pulled off an airplane last week for not wearing a mask correctly, goes into the story of the just heartbreaking 2-year-old with asthma who couldn't keep his mask on properly. And the air idiot yelling at them over it. Then she mentions last week, the new governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, announced the state will return to a policy that requires masking of all kids 2 years old and older in a daycare or school setting. This pathetic, pointless mandate is as cruel as it is dumb. The new boss might be worse than the old boss. It is, there is 0% efficacy. Kids that small using any sort of mask. It's useless.
Boy, and I'm more convinced than ever, especially for the younger kids, this not being able to see people's faces thing is a big deal. Like, right. I saw my son's teacher at a football game last week, his teacher from last year, and she said hello to us, and I didn't recognize her because I'd never seen her without a mask on. So I met with her, you know, school events, all that sort of stuff. I'd talked to her face-to-face for an hour, a bunch of different times, but without a mask on, I didn't recognize her. That's how, you know, much of identifying a human being is being covered up by the face. And I thought, what is that doing to young people who have no ability to read their teachers or other adults? It's got to be strange.
You know, getting back to this terrific piece, in November 2020, President Donald Trump said, look at the data. The spread from children and among children is not very big at all. Not like one would have suspected. Oh, wait a minute. That wasn't Trump. That was Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Absolutely no data have been released to alter what Fauci said, not even with the Delta variant, yet we continue to take this anti-science, fear-based approach to kids. The World Health Organization does not recommend masking children under 6. In Europe...
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. In Europe, the airlines require masks at age 10. British Airways Air France is 11. Only in the United States do we start masking the absurd age, the laughable age of 2.
We didn't give enough attention, I don't think. I'm so used to the cynicism and hypocrisy of our leaders that I don't think we pay enough attention to it sometimes. The maskless Emmys, just absolutely amazing. Given the rules that they have in L.A. County for how many people you can have in a restaurant and kids having to wear masks in school and all this sort of stuff, all those people indoors, oftentimes in small areas like backstage maskless, while all the servants were in masks, because they're performers is the county code?
Because it's so important.
We have it had some weird language about performers have special requirements or qualifications or ability or something. But yeah, they're just like you. They're vaccinated people making a decision. It's unbelievable that a society would let the pretty people gather together indoors without masks. But if you're having a wedding, you can't.
Right.
If you're having a family reunion, you can't.
Yeah. We're not going to get to the Australia thing maybe till next hour. It's going to amaze you. But, yeah, and I have no problem with the people doing the Emmys maskless.
No.
It's up to them. They're adults.
No, but let the wedding down the street, let them go without masks, too.
Keeping in mind, a 9-year-old is at zero risk of COVID, of serious outcomes from COVID. Another mom shared on her Facebook page a harrowing story about a JetBlue flight attendant who'd harassed her 9-year-old daughter who has special needs, who wasn't wearing the mask correctly. My daughter is visibly a special needs child. She is deaf, wears a hearing aid on one ear, cochlear implant on the other. Her walking requires an incredible amount of energy because she is deaf, and et cetera. She has vision loss. She has breathing issues. Throughout the flight, Matt, the flight attendant, insisted loudly she put it on right now, even while she was eating. Matt, of course, took off his own mask while making announcements to the plane.
Some of you people are crazy.
You really are crazy. You're superstitious. You're caught in fear of demons. You live in the world 1200 in your own head. You have no capacity to understand science. All you do is fear the evil spirits that lurk about in the night.
Well, there's that mixed up in your head with weird politics stuff where you don't want to be on this side or you don't want that side to win or something. That's even stranger.
Masking toddlers is idiotic, it's sadistic, it's illogical. Stop it.
If you miss an hour, grab the podcast at armstrongandgetty.com.
Armstrong and Getty.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.